Ron hangs up on a guest.
I didn't hang up on anybody.
You just did.
Got disconnected. Right. I didn't do anything. Hey,
Carl, will you go back there and make the call?
What are you talking about? I know how to dial a phone.
No, you don't know how to dial a phone.
Someone's calling.
All right, hold on. 94.7. Call the show now.
Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon. This is Mr. Sports and Ron Fantas. Is this Greg?
Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, Greg, thank you. My partner hung up on you inadvertently. For that, he should be scolded. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there, just having a little bit of rocky start to the day, but that's okay.
That's okay, man. You know what? I say roll with the punches, and you know that from playing in the NFL for a long time. Greg Bingham, just an outstanding football player. I posted a picture up when he recovered a Walter Payton fumble in 1977 and ran it off against Sweetness in the Chicago Bears. So much I want to talk to you about. You come out of Purdue, high draft pick for the Oilers. The team kind of floundered in the early portion of your career, went through a number of coaches. Let's start with Bill Peterson. Dan Pastorini didn't have a lot of nice words to say about Bill Peterson, longtime coach at Florida State. He said the team was in a state of disarray under his leadership.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was just a mess. I just couldn't believe it. I went to Purdue, and they were very organized there. And it was just, I said, this can't be the NFL. But it was.
Wow. And then Sid Gilman comes along and kind of saved the franchise.
Absolutely. I would be what Adams ever did, because Sid Gilman is a guru, or was a guru. He is the man, no doubt about it. Great person.
He was, and so innovative offensively with the Chargers in the 1960s. And Al Davis, longtime owner of the Raiders, cut his teeth under Sid Gilman with the Chargers back in the day. And he kind of opened things up and made you guys believe that you could finally get some wins there in Houston.
Absolutely. And, you know, the guy who put it all together was Bum Phillips.
Yep, and then O.A. Bum Phillips comes to Houston. What were your impressions of Bum when you first met him?
Well, you know, Bum is Bum, and it's a very unique type of person. So he was very country, very spoken, but he was very exacting.
Looking back on that defense that you guys had, Greg, you and Robert Brazil, I remember you guys just being such stalwarts back there in the second layer of the defense. And, you know, you got – and Elvin Bethea, of course, was up front to provide you a formidable force up front. But I think you linebackers are the two keys to why that defense works so well in Houston.
Well, if you really want to know, I appreciate that. Somebody has to make tackles, and that's why I led the league in tackles for 11 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And but I got to tell you, you know, you have to have other players. So it's just like a great movie. You know, you just can't be you. You have to have other players playing great roles.
Looking back on those Houston teams and everything, there was a little quarterback controversy going on back in the day, too. They had drafted Dan Pastorini in round one in 1971 out of Santa Clara. Lynn Dickey also comes in from Kansas, so there was a battle. And, you know, finally they more or less settled on Dan Pastorini. What were your thoughts about Pastorini steering the ship for Houston? Took him a little while to get control.
Well, I mean, you know, both of them are good friends of mine. Both of them are excellent quarterbacks. It was just, I guess, Pastorini had just a little bit stronger arm, but Lynn had the brains and the composure and the field generalship, if that will. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Was Bum Phillips playing for him? Was it because he had the you know the snakeskin boots and he had the cowboy hat and he didn't look like your typical football coach? But I know we'll talk about him later. Ken Stabler ended up playing for him. He enjoyed his time with Bum. Was it a lot looser atmosphere with Bum at the helm?
It was. Yes, that's exactly right. And Bum was. Really, in Albert Einstein, he just knew people. Mm-hmm. He knew how people. He treated them with respect and got the most out of them. And that's what Bum did.
Absolutely.
And he taught his son the same thing. And his son, Wade Phillips, obviously, has done the same thing because he was very successful in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wade Phillips. I mean, you think about the family tree and everything. One game I want to take you back to, arguably to this day, maybe the greatest game in Monday Night Football history, Cosell, Meredith, and Gifford there. And you guys play Love You Blue Night, the pom-poms are and I'm watching this game on TV. It was a back-and-forth shootout affair, and Earl Campbell goes nuts. And you guys beat the Miami Dolphins 35-31. How electric was that atmosphere for you that night, Greg?
Well, it was pretty cool because I made an interception that game.
Absolutely.
Help that far out.
Is it true that you eat raw hamburger?
I love it. I mean, it really is. That's nice. In fact, I've got some in the refrigerator right now.
This is from Jeff Davis, your buddy. He said, he goes, man, he's got some great stories. And he talks to you. Greg, you like to talk to your... the fans of yours that grew up watching you play, and I think that's really cool. It's easy to say, look, I was a star and everything. You're not like that.
Well, I mean, you know, I am what I am, and I'm proud of what I've done, and I've done it in business, too. So, you know, I have another field now, and that's in the business world, and I've done real well in that, too.
You've gone into finances, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And how is that different from playing football? Obviously, a lot more complicated.
Well, you know, it is, but it's really not. You just have to look at somebody, figure it out. And I have a lot of tools in my toolbox. One of the tools that I got, and I'd like to give to you, so you can give them to all, and it's the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion. Most people say, yeah, a couple zeros.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does that mean, a couple zeros? So here's what I tell them. I said, listen, would you go to your house, stay inside your house, if you stay there for 1 million seconds, I'll give you $1 million cash, tax free. Would you do that? Yeah. You know how long you'd be there? I go, no. I said, 12 days. Okay, I'll give you the same deal. I'll give you $1 billion cash, tax free. You'd do it for a billion seconds. Would you do that? I say, yeah. I said, you know, you'd be there 32 years. You know, some guy who said that, I said, you know, you're going to be 102 when you get out. You think you're going to enjoy that money? You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Wow.
Now, a trillion seconds takes 32,000 years.
Interesting.
Now, if you look at the national debt, you'll see right at this exact, I don't know if you know, you can go see what the debt is on the U.S. debt clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right at this exact second, which I just pushed the button, it's $36,965,000,000,000.
Jesus.
$209,000,000 in the last 6 digits are going so fast I can't even read them. That will take a million years to take our clock.
Right.
Well over years. There were dinosaurs running around here. But you see, that doesn't include all the expenses. In other words, like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and Army and Air Force, Navy, Marine, Space Force, government efficiency things. I mean, you know, the real obligation is well over $200 trillion. $200 trillion.
Wow.
So, never forget what people are doing, and I'm talking about the central bank of the world. They're protecting themselves, and they're buying gold. That's what's running gold through the roof.
Absolutely.
You see what the price of gold is?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, one of my really good friends, Ray Houstu, who's on this program, he's an investment analyst, and he's got a place in Florida and everything, and he talked about gold, he talked about crypto, he talked about a number of things, and obviously that's right in your field of work. I want to ask you, Greg, do you take on new clients? How's that? How do people end up getting in touch with you about that?
Well, I just help people out. That's what I do. I don't, you know, I really don't invest for people. They can run things across me if they want to. And, you know, I tell everybody in my family, because they're all have white privilege. Do you understand what white privilege is?
Tell me.
Well, white privilege is there is more intelligentsia, a.k.a. education, in the white community than another community in total. So you just have to go to the top and go to the right people and find the bright people. And I'm not saying that other races are not brilliant. There are brilliant people in every race. No question about it. I'm just saying there's more of them. That's all.
Mm-hmm. A couple questions from your buddy Jeff Davis I'm supposed to ask you about. He wanted me to ask you a few things. Why Tom Dempsey can't eat a Whopper? Couldn't eat a Whopper.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Also, explain about Mike Renfro, the guy that you guys call Goofy with the Oilers, wide receiver.
Well, to be quite frankly, I played with both those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so Renfro, we call him Goofy because he was always fooling around with the football. He always had a football in his hand. He was spinning around, flipping around, flopping around, doing a million things with it every day.
Wow.
That's what he did. I mean, he was never without, it's sort of like he's never done without a rosary. They wear them around their waist.
He sounds pretty goofy to me. Although, I want to take you back to the two AFC championship battles. 78, you play on a wet field at Three Rivers. They pound you guys 34-5. And then 1979, the controversial year. You're playing at a snow-covered Three Rivers Stadium once again. And the Steelers beat you, I think it was 27-13, to go on to Super Bowl 14 against the Rams. Mike Renfro, had replay been allowed back then, brought in that touchdown from Dan Pastorini. And you, take me back to that moment. Were you guys steamed and going nuts?
Well, I mean, you know, there's not much you can do about it once referees come in and meet and have their decision. It is what it is. But then you can cry over spilled milk after the fact, and that's exactly what happened. And I think that ushered in into play or something.
Wow. And here's another thing about Greg Bingham that a lot of people don't know. We talked about his long career, all with the Houston Oilers, played his entire career, Fantone, without suffering a major knee injury. Man, was it a stroke of luck or was it some workout regimen you were doing, Greg?
Actually, if you really want to know, it's just something what I'm doing is what I really attribute that to. Because you know, there's places you can go and places you don't go, and places you can put yourself at risk and places you don't. So I just wouldn't put myself at risk, if that makes sense to
you. Right. You played smart.
Yeah, I played smart. That's what I did.
So, fascinating. 1979 season's over. You guys lose back-to-back to the Steelers. You're one step away, and I remember Bum Phillips said, "We knocked on the door. We did something to the door. Next year, we're going to kick the SOB in." So you make what was then an unheard-of swap of starting quarterbacks. Dan Pastorini goes to Oakland, which really didn't work out too well for him out there. And you guys get the dynamic Ken Stabler from Oakland, who was loved by Raider Nation throughout.
You there?
After a feud with Al Davis.
After a rainstorm.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, you there? Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
So, I was talking about the big trade, the Pastorini for Stabler trade. When Kenny came, did the atmosphere change a lot from Dan's time there?
Well, it did. And I will tell you that they were pretty smart when they did this because they made me a roommate.
You and Snake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he stay in or take you out drinking or try to take you out drinking every night, Greg?
Stayed and did what he's supposed to do.
And they said in practice, like he like the very first day didn't know any of the receivers and it went out and hit like 16 in a row. Flip, 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 flip. I think Wade Phillips was talking about that and he's just like extraordinary. Could you see the leadership skills that he had? And could you tell that he had won so much in Oakland just upon his presence?
Absolutely, yeah. He had, I guess they call that swagger.
Yep.
He had the swagger. He sure did. Hell of a guy. Would he push the edge of the envelope sometimes? A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never go over the edge.
And you know, he had his own TV show down there in Houston, and I have one of the shows taped. I got a VCR in 1979. Also, he had a Coca-Cola. They call it Snake Venom. I have one of those too. I got to hang with Snake many, many, many times, and became good friends with his family. Very blessed to hear great stories about him from a former Houston Oiler teammate in Greg Bingham. Greg, 1980 wild card game. This is ironic. So Stabler has to go back to the Oakland Coliseum, and you guys go in there and you play the Raiders, and you take a 7-3 early lead, and then it was all Oakland. And I know that was painful because you guys wanted to win it for Stabler in that game.
Yeah, that was a tough loss, no doubt about it.
27-7 ended up being the final, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, they just beat us. It happened.
Absolutely.
Just like we would beat the Steelers, and I think the Steelers, we beat them every year, but they were the best team in football. We would split during a season, then we'd see them in a postseason, and then they beat us.
How great were the Houston fans in that Astrodome, Love You Blue and the pom-poms? I mean, did he fire you guys up?
Yeah, the thing about the Love You Blue era was the timing. Mm-hmm. It's just that the timing was just perfect because, you know, time advances and things get different, and it was just the perfect timing because the media was out there, the media was behind it, they had the right chance, and I mean chance, C-H-A-N-T-S, chance. And they came out with Love You Blue, and it was just perfect timing for everything.
Did you like the Astrodome? Were you sad to see it discarded?
I love the Astrodome because I love the footing. The footing was perfect. Mm-hmm. Every step you made was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be a little bit careful of is if the roof would leak, you'd get a little water.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be a little slippery.
What they call it, one of the seven wonders of the world at one time.
And
Billie Jean King and
Bobby Riggs, yeah.
Played tennis in the Astrodome. I remember that, and Cosell announced it back in 1973. That stadium was rocking, man. That was the place for it. Also, wasn't the Astrodome, too, Greg, if I'm not mistaken, where UCLA and Houston played in basketball? And yes. Elvin Hayes got the win against John Wooden and the Bruins, knocking off of their perch with that long winning streak. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely amazing. And one final guy I want to ask you about. We have Greg Bingham on, longtime linebacker with the Houston Oilers. The presence of one, the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. When he got there, and then after you saw him run, were you like, oh, my God, this guy is difference?
Well, I got to tell you something. Not only did I lead the league in tackles for 11 years, but I tackled Earl Campbell every single day in
practice.
Oh, my. I'm Earl Campbell's leading tackler. Nobody tackled Earl.
Those thighs were like tree trunks.
Yep.
How the heck you bring that guy down?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to force with force, and he had a lot of force, and that's why I have Dane Grimage.
Greg Bingham, thank you for being with us and sparing some of your free time with us. We appreciate it, my brother.
You bet, big man. I appreciate it. Good talking.
Always. Greg Bingham from the Houston Oilers, 12-year veteran. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right here on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone after this.
ESPN 94.7 FM, hi, and good afternoon. It's about 12:27 right now, and Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone with you.
Fantone, bring it back into memories. Greg Bingham. And I remember Cosell when he went out there in that opening, and they showed all those light blue pom-poms in the Houston Astrodome. That game was 35-31. It just went back and forth. Houston won, and Campbell went berserk that night.
It was losing
running down the sideline. Oh,
just ripped and
absolutely amazing. Incredible. But the only thing, you know, he talked about Earl Campbell and what a great tackler Greg Bingham did that he was. And he had to tackle Earl Campbell in practice. He goes, you talk about painful. I went out there in games and everything. No one was as strong as he was.
Yeah.
Campbell, one of the greatest running backs that I've ever seen.
Whew.
Man, I would hate to take him on head on. And I think one of the most vicious collisions that I saw was in the late 70s. Isaiah Robertson of the Rams, a really renowned linebacker, come up to meet Campbell head on. That's the one you're talking about. Yeah. Campbell lowered his head. Yep. Boom! Robertson went back. Jersey was shredded, and Campbell kept going.
Yep.
Another collision with Earl Campbell was at a goal line in a 1979 game against the Raiders. Who meets him at the goal line head on? Jack Tatum.
Yeah.
Whew. Tatum put a wallop on Campbell. Campbell stays on his feet and backpedals into the end zone and then is knocked out cold.
Yeah.
They were both knocked out from that collision.
Well, that's incredible.
Absolutely amazing. But thank you to Greg Bingham, 12-year NFL superstar linebacker with the Houston Oilers, talking about Love You Blue and Bum Phillips, Sid Gilman, talked about Bill Peterson, Dan Pastorini, Kenny Stabler, and just all those Love You Blue fans out there. And I'm sure he was sad to see the Houston Oilers fold. Bud Adams, a longtime owner out there and everything. And our buddy Mark Yaya Prito, worked some for, I think, Bud Adams at a time when they became the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And Houston does have a franchise back, and they should have just like Cleveland, the Oilers should have never been lost.
Never.
And you talk about the Oilers, too, and some of the great players throughout the years. One name certainly comes to mind, and that's Warren Moon.
Yeah,
Warren Moon forever, you know, not good enough to play in the NFL. Had to go to the CFL and star.
Canada.
And Kim comes to the NFL and takes the league by storm.
He sure did.
Great quarterback. Anyway, thanks to Greg Bingham. We have a trivia question for some JR's wings.
Am I eligible on this?
You are not eligible. You cannot answer
the question
I'm about to ask. All right, you can call us up. Here's the phone number. It is 330-744-0947. Here's your question. Here's your question, Ron Fantone.
You're going to want to answer this because the wings are just outstanding.
Yeah, and I'll be hosting trivia there tonight from 7 till 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We call it Trivia Madness. Anyway, your question is, name me the two starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl IV. Super Bowl IV. By the way, it would become the final year of the AFL. Name the two quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl IV. The game was played in New Orleans.
It was put the teams.
No. Super Bowl IV. It was the final year of the AFL before the AFC and NFC would create a new merger.
No one's going to get that.
And what three teams from the NFL? There you go. Somebody's got it. What three teams from the NFL went to the AFL? Do you know that, Fantone? No, you don't. All right. Good afternoon. You're Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone.
Yes. Good afternoon. That'd be Len Dawson and Joe Kopp.
There you go, brother. Lynn Dawson and Joe Capp.
Wow.
All right, a little bit more trivia. Expound upon it. Name the final score of that game.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. You had to go there. I was feeling good for it. You wouldn't even have me. Let me have a minute of glory.
Now, this is
26-7. I can't remember.
No, 23-7.
Oh, see,
well, that was close.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No.
Who's calling?
Who's calling? What's that?
Who is this?
Ron Fantone's number one fan.
Does he have a number one fan?
Come on, man.
Wow, I really, my voice that different on the over a phone. Okay.
Is this Jeffrey?
No. Yeah, I'm Greg's agent.
Oh, Greg's agent. Yes, absolutely. Jeffrey, you got free wings, and Fantone likes the Parmesan garlic.
Garlic Parmesan.
I go with the hot garlic, but you have free wings, buddy.
That's cool. Your name. That'll be great for the party, you know.
Absolutely.
I'll see you there in about a month. You know?
This is really cool. Fantone, unlike you, they're coming out for trivia, a bunch of them. G.T. Bundy, Jeff Davis, who's on the phone, and our wing winner. And Eric Swice coming out?
Yeah, my son will be there, too. Lucas is going to be there.
Oh, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. And we'll have fun. And I'll try to tailor some questions in your ballpark, in your wheelhouse for you.
Wow.
Now, you know what? One thing while I have you on the phone, Jeff,
sure.
You've known Greg Bingham for a while. How'd you two first associate?
the craziest thing. I when I was down with surgeries and whatnot, I'd get super bored, of course, and start surfing Facebook for just names of people that, you know, players and stuff like that, if I ever wanted to communicate with, but for some reason. But he has popped up, you know, you might be interested in one
right.
of those. And I just sent him a message, and he sent back a message to me, and within an hour, I had his phone number, and I was on the phone with him for about 2 hours.
Wow. 2 hours.
And then there'd be nights where I'd go do the high school football games on Friday night, and I'd come back and give him a call. It'd be like 10:30 our time, so it didn't matter. But to be honest, I had to kind of say, well, I got to go to, I mean, I'm going on the phone till like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah. He just starts with these financial theories and stuff like that, and you'll get on tear there, so.
A little earlier, we had Keith Corso on. Somebody that
great.
You knew, too. And, yep. Jeff, you worked at Y103 and WPIC for a number of years. What years were you active at the radio stations?
It would be probably, I want to say, 87 to, like, 93. 94.
Wow, 94.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
I left, I started in 87, so I think we came in around the same time. And then I left in, because I couldn't get a full-time job. That's why. And Fantone left for RRO, I left for RRO. That's exactly what happened. I ended up meeting this crazy guy.
Right.
And doing a morning show with. And then me and him got fired. Well, Fantone stormed out of the studio and got in a fight with the boss. So I left, and I ended up at Z96, and Fantone scrambled back with his tail between his legs to WRO. That's exactly what happened.
That's not how it happened.
So
that
was a long time ago.
Not how it happened at all.
That's exactly what happened.
None of those statements are true.
Hey, Jeff, I've got to ask you a question. Yes. We asked Keith about this. Do you think Pine Hollow Boulevard is haunted?
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. But
then why is a former coworker of yours, Rob Sherwood, saying he worked overnight and he saw ghosts in the hallway all the time?
Well, it's because he's Rob Sherwood.
See,
I don't know.
That's an easy explanation for that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how squeamish that the engineer Charlie Ring was. And he was. And, I mean, you would rattle cans, you would punch walls, you would scream. It's like there was no way not to scare that poor engineer. It was horrible.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And he would appear out of nowhere sometimes.
Well, he would.
I would just be distracted, and he'd come in the room. And I didn't hear him come in. It's a door in the FM. You know, if he hit it the right way, you couldn't hear sometimes.
He'd just be standing there.
Thicker door or something, I'm trying to think.
You know, I would say one thing about Charlie. He might have taken his time to do something, but it was always done right. I mean, very thorough. It might take him, like, maybe 2 weeks longer than a conventional engineer, but when he did something, it was done right. For example, I remember our phone systems when he worked on it and everything. They were, like, crystal clear, just the way he did it.
I wonder if he went into that little room that he worked in, if there aren't, like, tapes of, you know, when he bugged the whole place, you know.
Yeah.
We always wonder if he did. He probably had the capability of doing it, but it would have been so easy.
And then he had it set up to something like with the intercom system where, and I forget which DJ, it might have been you.
It was me.
Was it you?
But they
went over the air. It went over the air, conversation.
It wasn't me. That never happened to me.
When I lived in Majory, Charlie.
Oh, it happened to Ron.
Charlie came over our house and he rigged up my phone system, my home phone system where I could page.
Wow.
Uh-huh. People could call me there from the station.
But that didn't go over the air.
It was a pain. It had the capabilities to.
Wow, that's scary stuff.
He did all
there.
Of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but somebody broadcast on one of the intercom systems, and it was going over the air, and Charlie called up and said, "You guys are on the air," just like he would say, in that mundane voice of his. Said, yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff,
he's going to be over in the other AM going, "I'm going to seize the FM," you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, Jeff, congratulations, my brother, and thank you for the hookup with Greg Bingham. You're welcome. And we'll see you at JR's for trivia.
That's right. It's going to be July 23rd, I believe.
July 23rd. It's all marked in. It would be great to see you, my brother.
Thank you, Jeff.
I can't wait.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, right here on a Hump Day Wednesday after these messages. And we're back. We got about 20 minutes or so. Yeah. Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone right here on ESPN 94.7. We are your sports, music, comedy, variety, everything in between, local show of insanity, a little something for everybody. And congratulations to Jeff Davis. Knew that Joe Capp and Len Dawson were the starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl IV. And the Vikings were heavy favorites in that. And yep. AFL won for the second consecutive time. And this follows after the Jets, upset of the world, guaranteed victory against the Baltimore Colts, were also heavily favored. Yeah, just amazing. Major League Baseball, I got an update for you. The Pirates playing early, bottom of the first inning, two outs. Marlins and Pirates scoreless in that contest. And also the Guardians are playing at 1:10 this afternoon. They're hosting Cincinnati. Logan Allen will be the pitcher. Let's go to the phone lines. You're on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you all.
What is going on? Mr. Football.
That was a great interview yesterday with Terry Hanratty. What a great, I mean, you guys may not remember, you might have been too young, but he was known as the Super Bombers when they came out in Notre Dame in 1966.
Yep.
Him and a guy named Jim Seymour, they were the Baby Bombers.
Yep.
They led Notre Dame to a national championship against Michigan State, Michigan State's last game, but Notre Dame had one more game to play, and Arrow went for the tie against Michigan State because he knew that the last game of the year they were playing Southern Cal, and Southern Cal was going through a coaching change and everything, and he kept the first team in and ran up the score 42-0 to ensure the national championship, and John McKay said, Notre Dame will never beat me again as long as I'm the head coach. And it never did. They tied a couple times, but they never beat him when McKay was the head coach after that game.
I remember the was it Michigan State Notre Dame when Bubba Smith played there, and it was a 10-10 tie. And and that helped create it. But, you know, for a lot of Alabama Crimson Tide fans back then, they crushed Nebraska in the Sugar Bowl 34-7. Kent Stabler got MVP of the Sugar Bowl. And Tide fans to this day will tell you we should have been the national champions because Notre Dame and Michigan played to a tie in Michigan State.
Correct.
Yep, that's true. Hey, we got our big bet tonight, Mr. Football. Yes, I will take -5.5 against the Pacers. Did you hear that crazy little stat? If Halliburton scores 20, if he gets 20 or more, they're 7-1. When he doesn't get 20, they're only 6-4. So that'll be interesting.
That'll be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting back to Mr. Terry Hanratty, he's one of the few athletes that have been answered this question. What does Terry Hanratty have in this position that I would say 80% of the, I would say more than that, I would say less than 30% of the Super Bowl players winning team have in common.
With Terry Hanratty has something with a lot of winning teams have in common?
He has something that less than 20% of the Super Bowl championship teams have in common.
Thick mustache?
No.
He did. He had that thick mustache. I remember that mustache.
He had that mustache, yeah.
And thinning hair.
He won a Super Bowl, and he won a national championship. Outside of Joe Montana, name somebody else who has a Super Bowl ring and a national championship ring in their possession.
Wow. That is fascinating. You mentioned his combination with Hanratty's combination in 66 with Jim Seymour. Rocky Blyer, I also think, was a teammate.
Rocky Blyer was a senior when Hanratty was. That was another thing, and The Rock's going to be speaking later this month at one of our local churches' halls, and I'm planning to attend that. But Rocky Blyer was a senior, that's correct. And that was a great team that Notre Dame assembled there. They had Jim Lynch as And what connection Youngstown has with, I was going to bring this up, the fact that I got on the air with Terry yesterday. What connection does Youngstown have with Terry Hanratty?
With Terry Hanratty?
Youngstown. It was on the national championship team.
Hmm.
You guys are too young. There was a kid named John.
Well, Hanratty's from Butler, Pennsylvania, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
There was a kid from Youngstown named, and some of your senior listeners will remember, his name was John Horning. No relation to Paul Horning. John Horning, who played at Youngstown Cardinal Mooney. He also was on the national championship team. But then he played linebacker.
Oh wow!
And then, and if you Google the two announcers of that game were the one, the only, Chris Schenkel. Can you name the other announcer? Very famous.
Bud Wilkinson.
That's correct.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A very long good. Time
How
Oklahoma coaching legend.
You reached for that one. That was a good one.
I didn't reach for it. I knew. I grew up with those cats. Chris Schenkel and Bud Wilkinson.
Bud Wilkinson, the famous Oklahoma coach who had, I think it was 54 games in a row before Notre Dame beat him back in the middle 50s. Bud Wilkinson was the announcer on that game.
I remember a couple of other Notre Dame legends around that time. Now, Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber, had gone to school there many years earlier, but I remember Bob Kuchenberg and Alan Page. These are some notable names around that time period that went on. Kuchenberg, of course, many times All-Pro, part of Don Shula's two-time Super Bowl champions. Then Alan Page was like a part of the Purple People Eaters of Bud Grant in Minnesota for so long. Amazing.
In the early 60s at Notre Dame, I think 61 to 64, he went there to play but it's from Youngstown East. Jim Snowden, they shifted him to tackle. He played on Washington Redskins teams during the mid 70s and early 80s.
And do you remember that East High's coach was Pete Lanzi? Remember?
Pete Lanzi, famous East High coach.
See that?
Took over from Dick Barrett, another legend on the East Side.
That's right.
That's my alma mater. But,
mine
but,
too.
Pete Lanzi left, took the job with a hearing, a school for the hard of hearing, we'll say, in California.
What?
Took the job, I think that was in 63 or 62.
Yeah.
And then the coaching was up for Edgar Gregory, the famous coach from Youngstown State women's basketball, and a guy named Bob Cummings.
That's right.
Great legend.
Oh yeah,
was
definitely.
Up for the job, and Coach Gregory got it because he had a master's degree, and Bob Cummings didn't, and he went to. A school you might have heard of, Struthers.
Yep.
And he led Struthers High to numerous Steel Valley championships.
Absolutely. I remember Bob Cummings when I was going to school. I think it was coaching Iowa at that time when I was in grade school.
He went from Youngstown to Maslin, from Struthers to Maslin to Iowa.
Yep, I remember. And another one they talk about all the time, and my dad actually played in Warren AA baseball with a guy, is Bo Ryan.
Oh, yeah,
Bo Ryan. In all sports, not just football, but he was a great baseball player, too.
Oh, yes. He could have went pro, I think, in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But he either hurt his ankle or hurt his knee, one or the other. But, he ended up coaching. And didn't he die tragically in a plane wreck?
He did. He did. I don't even think when he took that job, he ever got to coach for that team. But that was, and everybody was so proud because Niles guy, you know, he's going to take, and Bo Ryan's moving up in the coaching ranks, and he passes away on January 10th of 1980, and he had coached at North Carolina State and had just accepted the new coaching position at LSU for the Tigers. And then, unfortunately, 1980, aircraft accident, and that's the end of it. But Ohio State legend, definitely Bo Ryan.
Bo Ryan.
And people will never forget him, certainly, in Niles history.
Right. It was very, very good in two sports, yes.
Well, Mr. Football, tomorrow we will settle this bet once and for all. I expect you to be at JR's Pub in prompt fashion tomorrow to give him my wings.
Okay? Oh, no, I'll be collecting my dinner. And those wings are absolutely delicious.
They are.
We had one. I seen Jeff the other day. And he's looking forward to doing the show from his establishment.
Yeah, we're going to be, remiss to not announce it again. It'll be next Tuesday, June 17th. Jeff's getting up good and early. Fantone's making him cook bacon. And we are...
Eggs.
Come on, Ron.
Crack a couple eggs.
Come on, you don't have to throw that in.
Come on.
We're going to be there on the 17th. It's our first live on-location broadcast.
Yes, first and last.
Of this show. That's right. Otherwise, I may kill Fantone that morning, but we'll have to wait and see. If you're late, you're like 2 minutes away. That'll be a sad state of affairs.
I'm going to take my medicine that morning.
Yeah, you better. All right, Mr. Football, we love you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Take care. That's Vince, Mr. Football. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a
good guy. Good cat. All right, we'll take a break. We're coming back. Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, we're down to our final minutes. We'll update you on what the Pirates are doing. Again, the Guardians set to play at 1:10, hosting Cincinnati with Logan Allen slated to pitch right after this. And we're back, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, a couple of minutes. And look who came into the studio.
I'm telling you.
We hear this golden voice on the way in. It's Jim Michaels. What's up, brother? How are you?
What's happening?
Yeah. It turns out you and Fantone have a history.
He had a mustache then.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
PIC, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I left, you took my place
in the afternoon.
I think.
I did, yeah.
I believe
that's
so.
Absolutely
yeah, that was
right,
going back to the 70s.
Jim's a great guy, yeah.
We're going prehistoric now.
We are.
You
got good to see you again.
Yeah, and you got those golden tones, Jim. It's like, I'm Jim Michaels. And you're working.
Charlie Ring story, too, by the way.
Give me a quick Charlie story.
Charlie, so he's in Meadville because at the time, the company Regional Group owned the Meadville stations, and he was up there, and Y103 went off the air, and we're trying to figure out how to get back on. He's at a payphone, and we're seeing all kind of lights blinking on the transmitter, and he's turning the station back on. This is before cell phones and all this stuff. He was a phone genius. Yeah.
When I became a program director and my family, we moved to Majorie because we were close. I had to be there early in the morning. I was doing mornings in PD.
Yeah.
So we had a house in Majorie. Charlie came to my house. And he rewired my phone system in my house so I could get phone calls there from the station. And not phone calls, but they could page me and I could pick up from my phone.
In the day. I mean, that was amazing.
I could page from my phone. I just had to hit number one. Yeah. And I could page through the building at Pine Hollow.
Jim, how long have you been in media? How long have you been doing it?
It's going on a really long time.
Tell me, what was your first job?
The first time I was ever... live on the air was July 5th of 1976.
Jeez. Oh my God!
At midnight, I played Revolution
by the Beatles.
Yeah, and it was the day after we had Tall Ships and all that kind of good stuff going on back in 1976. And it's been. My wife has a good job. She's an attorney, so that's
awesome.
I can afford to do this. Otherwise,
we got to get Jimmy back in the studio one time. People would love to hear from him. And Jim, may I say, you're the utmost professional at news, and you have a great voice, and you're a nice guy too.
Appreciate that.
You absolutely,
very kind of you. Good seeing you guys.
Yeah, really.
Take care. All right,
good show.
Guys have a nice rest of your Wednesday hump day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. We've got Terry Clutter. We've got Eric Ryan from Cavelli Center, and much more. Nice to see Jim Michaels, your old buddy today.
We had 2 minutes. Yeah, it was great seeing you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're good friends. Great guy. I mean, just you see how everybody likes me. You don't. I mean, you have trouble with me. Yeah. No one else has trouble with me except you.
What do you mean?
I'm a good guy. You seem to battle with me all the time, putting me down, saying things about me all the time.
What did I made a phone call to you yesterday. No, listen, I had a call because of his temperament. I actually had to make a phone call to Fantone yesterday and warn him.
About what?
Do not start any arguments with guests today in the studio.
Well,
I did because you had past indiscretions.
Didn't I tell you that I'd be fine?
You were fine. Back then, you got into a fiery argument with somebody.
I don't carry a grudge like you, Bacho. You know what I mean? I don't carry that.
I don't have a grudge with anybody.
You know, and remember now, this is automatic, so we have 1 minute.
All right, 1 minute. Anything you want to say in closing? We got a great show today. Thank you, Keith Corso.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim Michaels, from us recently. Thank you, Greg Bingham,
a
12-year NFL veteran.
For me, I mean, this is like a throwback day for me. Jim Michaels, Keith Corso. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, yeah, it was great seeing those guys.
And tomorrow we'll have a lovely young lady in here, Terry Clutter, former Y103 morning show host.
She's going to be lovely because you booked her.
And Eric Ryan in from the Cavelli Center. And it just keeps getting better and better.
There's been one homely woman in here since you took over this.
I know what I'm doing, Fantone. I mean, these old women are all beautiful. All right, Guardians at 110. They'll be hosting Cincinnati. And again, if you want to know, the Pirates and Marlins 0-0, bottom of the second. We'll catch you tomorrow for the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning our way.